Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Hey everybody, welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. My name is Kyle Rosenthal and I am joined as always by my colleague,
compatriot.
Yes, whatever we might refer to him today. I was trying to think of something clever and witty, and then I realized it was Brian. How are you, Brian?
I thought you were trying to think of the word esteemed, is what I thought you were trying to do.
Esteemed colleague.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Colleague. Okay. Possibly. No.
No. No, that was
Brian, how are you? And of course, we welcome back our part-time contributor, Wayne. How are you, Wayne?
I'm good, mate. For an old retired man sitting back here relaxing, yes, I'm good.
That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear it. And so Brian, I actually cut you off. I said how are you, and then just skipped right over the answer. How are you, Brian?
I am very well, Kyle. And how are you?
I'm doing great. I must say, Brian, you're sounding great. Have you got a new setup for your microphone?
I do. I do indeed. I have gotten on the Get Healthier bandwagon and have gotten myself a stand-up desk.
Oh, okay.
And when I did that, not only did I get my multiple monitor set up, but I also purchased myself some new audio-related gear, which, as you can tell, does not automatically strip out my ums and ahs for me, but still allows me to talk just as I normally do. So here I am using my regular microphone instead of using a headset. So.
Okay, so you're using your, like, that the big... was it blue microphone or whatever it is you got?
No, we've talked about microphones in the past, and up until now, I've been a believer in the Meteor by Samsung, and not Samsung, but Samsung. And
is that like going and purchasing a TV that's made by Sony?
No.
Or Philips with an F.
The Samsung Meteor is a wonderful microphone on its own right, but it is a USB microphone. Even though it is a condenser microphone, which still gives you fairly rich audio, it is taking that condenser and putting it into a digital media, which is what this microphone is doing. But this is a actual studio microphone with the big, thick, big old round connector with the three prongs in it, and now that is going into an actual factual microphone and instrument mixing small mixing board, and then that's going into a digital. So I'll probably still get all sorts of lossy kind of audio, but for right now I'm very pleased with it, and it does work very nicely with my stand-up be at my computer philosophy for at least the beginning of this current year.
Okay, there you go. All right, and the have you got like a call those the
little sound box,
like the thing that sits over the top of it to stop the pops and that sort of thing?
The plosive P preventer. Yeah, yes. It's got the big styrofoam ball on it, and then it also does have an available attachment to be able to put the actual sound screen up in front of it. But this microphone is actually designed to almost be sort of like old time singers. It's right up next to the mouth, as opposed to like 4 inches away, which you would typically do with a more USB kind of audio.
And so, when is your album being released?
Yes, I'm going to release a spoken word album shortly after the MCT North America Summit, I believe.
Sounds good. I like the idea. It should be we should have more of it. I'll definitely not purchase a copy, but but I'll pirate one for you.
I figured that you would say that is one I will definitely avoid. So.
Oh, no, I like to show support.
So you'll pirate it instead.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't want to give you money for it, but.
And here I am using my plain old Plantronics Blackwire C310-M.
And you know what? This wasn't sort of on our list of things to talk about, but there's there is nothing wrong with a good wired headset. The only thing that I can say, Wayne, is I know the headset you're talking about there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that is not a stereo headset, is it?
No, it's just a single one.
Yeah,
so it's great for conference calls, and I can still hear what's going on in the background, and that it's you're not isolating as much as you would if you had the full headphones.
Right.
That's why I find it particularly good.
And it can be very good. I just feel lopsided. I feel like one side of my head is heavier than the other side of my head, even with the old. Oh, when Bluetooth first came out and they had the headsets that went down the line of your jaw, and those other ones where you sort of touched the side of your head, it was sort of like you were the Secret Service or whatever. You would hold your hand up. I never liked having things in just one ear. It just has always impacted my ability to be able to hear and react. I don't know why that does, but that's how I feel about it.
Where I found it particularly good is if I'm teaching a combined class, so I've got a telepresence or a couple of telepresence people as well as the students in the classroom, by using exactly what I've got on at the moment, it means that I can still hear the classroom noise and feel that I'm part of the classroom. At the same time, the students at the other end of the telepresence are getting a better experience than what they would just from hearing all the classroom noise, plus me going through the external speakers that are, in our case, hung up on either wall. So I just found it much better for that. It does stop you from walking around as much, but it just means I feel I'm participating more with the people that are in the room with me, as opposed to shutting myself off from them.
Yeah, I can't think of how many headsets I ruined by getting up and walking without realizing that I had my headset on.
Yeah.
I have never yanked myself down to the ground because of it, but I have like pulled the connectors out and so on. But it, you know, to each their own. In just to present a sort of other possibility for the sort of hybrid model of learning that you're talking about there, Wayne, is I really like the Plantronics, or even Bose has a really nice one, but a sort of centralized speaker, a microphone setup where it's got multiple microphones, it's got a sort of a surround speaker, and it gives the ability for a person who is connecting remotely to feel like they're in perspective,
okay,
like they're in the
good
room
point.
The only thing that, like you said, it can be somewhat distracting if that person just suddenly blurts out, "No, honey, I'm in the bathroom," or something like that, which I'm sure would never actually happen, but, you know, because we all remember to mute ourselves all the time.
Yeah, actually, talking about those combined classes, because I've done a few of them over the last couple of years, and it seems to be becoming more and more popular, I've actually found that it does tie me to my desk more. But I also think that's more the way that my teaching style has evolved. I tend to, as I become more comfortable with the products, the newer courses, when they come out and you get more comfortable with it, I tend to do it as a free-flowing demonstration, and at the end of the module tend to flick through the slides. So it does mean I'm confining myself to the instructor's desk more than what I ever used to. I don't know whether you blokes find the same thing, or when you're doing a conference call, or whether you're teaching, you tend to sit down a lot more than what we used to back in the old days of wandering up and down the classroom and teaching from the back and teaching from the middle, or sitting down and, as I used to do sometimes, sit down in the middle of the class in a spare seat and just use the laser pointer and the remote mouse to forward the PowerPoint slides and sit in the middle of the class and talk about what we're looking at. Do you find that these days? Do you find yourself sitting more if you're teaching?
No.
No, you were always a wanderer, Kyle.
Well, actually, so like it depends. If I'm doing a lot of demos, then yeah, like, you know, that's probably where I do. But yeah, but otherwise, no, I still have a tendency to wander around. When I'm doing PowerPoints and that sort of thing, if I'm discussing PowerPoints or flicking through those, then I'll definitely be wandering.
Yeah. I do know Kyle personally. The way he teaches is a lot more on the whiteboard than what I ever do. And again, it to me that depended on the course. When I used to teach checkpoint courses, I'd spend the whole day on the whiteboard. Whereas teaching a config manager course, I spend all day on the console with the screen up, demonstrating and showing and talking about it. So it's interesting.
Well, and now I find myself standing more because I'm making a focused effort to stand more. The new medical breakthrough is that sitting is the new smoking, they say. That we're sitting too much and we're getting unhealthy because of it. Now, if you look at Kyle, you know that that's probably true, because Kyle's in much better shape than either yourself or myself, especially myself. And so I don't need to be sitting as much as I do. So I've actually, Wayne, tried to counteract that, forcibly counteract that, by getting this stand-up desk. But I will also freely admit that this stand-up desk has multiple settings, and it's got pneumatic legs, so it can go between a sit-down desk and a stand-up desk very quickly and easily.
Oh, that'd be nice. That brings up another point while you were talking about that. Kyle, one of the things I admired about the courses that you taught, particularly up in Townsville for the Defence Force, was that you used the little old Surface RT pretty well exclusively for a couple of those courses. You still do that? You still use your tablet or your Surface to present from?
So I don't at the moment. The reason being because the device that I've got at the moment, so my Lenovo Yoga, and I don't know if it's the Yoga or if it's what it is, but like I just can't actually get it to reliably run through the projection, as in like sort of to do the remote projection. So for whatever reason, if I go to do the project onto an external device, it just keeps on crashing. So, but I don't know where the problem lies with that. If it's because I'm running like all the Windows Insider applications.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if there's an update that's required that just won't go through to the that little Windows projector hub. But yeah, and the other reason is because the device that I've got, despite what I was told at the point of sale, doesn't actually take pen input. So I find it's just a pain in the neck to be able to do. Like you can use those pseudo pens. You know, what I mean by that is the ones that that basically just pretend to be a thumb. But the problem with those is they're just horribly inaccurate. So so it'll be my next device. I will do a little bit more research. Apart from that, I love the machine, but that's the thing that annoys me with it. So,
I still love the Surface 4, but I've never quite got to the point of actually drawing on it during a session. And every time I finish drawing on a whiteboard, I kick myself and say, well, you should have done that on the Surface in tablet mode. Then again, I can't really remember anybody at a Microsoft conference, because that's pretty well the only ones I go to. I can't remember any presenters at any of the conferences using their devices either.
See, I always do it like when I can. And it's like, say, for instance, like that particular course, like that training area you were referring to, when I was doing that training, there was limited space to be able to do writing on a board because there was
nothing. It was a broom closet, wasn't it?
Yeah. So basically you had no choice but to do it on a projector. So that kind of forced me down that track. I'd always done that, like when I've done online training, and that's the thing. Online training, I always switch between things and put up a whiteboard and, like, you know, in PowerPoint and that sort of thing. So I do that anyway, along those lines. But as I said, that kind of forced me. And that, like, the benefit of doing that was that, say, for instance, when you do your wandering, like when I was doing my walk around, it meant that, say, for instance, I could go and do what you were saying, like, you know, go and sit up the back of the class, but go and sit up the back of the class and still do demos.
It's something that I need to practice, need to play with. Yeah,
it is just playing around. So
yeah, have you ever tried it, Brian? Ever tried using a Surface or a tablet to teach from or to enhance your teaching?
To be honest with you, I've owned a couple of Surface devices, and due to the resolution issues with Surfaces in general, I've had difficulty doing that. But I can tell you that with a lot of the new, and this was obviously, did a lot of testing before Windows 10 came out and gave you sort of the connect to wireless display options. I have found that with Windows 10, I think I probably would use it a lot more. And because I have a new Surface device, I may investigate doing that. Maybe as soon as the MCT North America Summit.
That could be an interesting topic or birds of a feather type session where a number of us could get together with our Surfaces and exchange views and teach each other maybe the best way to be able to use it in a classroom environment. To me, the more options I've got to be able to explain a particular point or a particular technology, whether it's a website or a PowerPoint slide or a demo or walking around drawing, anything like that is just going to increase the retention rate of what I'm trying to get across to the students that are in the room. So if we could get together as a group and say, right, well, let's have an hour's play, because if it's just me by myself, I don't think it's as valuable as if you could do it with another trainer. Now, I've seen Kyle use the whiteboard. I've heard him talk about using his Surface. One of the other trainers, Terry Griffiths, doesn't use his instructor machine. Instead, he's got an Android device up the front on a music stand is the best way to describe it. So it's on the instructor desk, so he's turning it into a stand-up desk type of thing. And he actually pretty well runs his course from there and hooks it into the projector up above using the wireless and then draws demos, RDPs into the instructor machine to run through the slides and then comes back to that particular machine. It's not a skill I've got, and I think that skill in today's world is something that's going to be more valuable than the knowledge that you've got in your head. A lot of the students that we're getting through now are younger, and a lot of those younger students have got a different learning method or simply want to know and get a result quicker than what we may be used to. So if that sort of thing could be added in, or we could do it as a video podcast rather than a sound podcast, I reckon that'd be great.
Well, and I think that any time we get trainers together, that there should be like a show me yours and I'll show you mine sort of technology exchange. And that's one of the things that I try to teach, or no, I shouldn't say teach, but that I try to present at least once a year to my fellow trainers is gadgets and gizmos collection of things that are actually helpful in training. Depending on when you are listening to this, you may not realize this is our first recording of the new year of 2018. But prior to this, we had a session where we talked about what goodies Kyle and I wanted to find in our stockings or that would make good stocking stuffers for trainers. Kyle, did you actually receive any of those or find anything else that you forgot that was going to make a good gift?
No.
Okay. So Microsoft didn't... Santa didn't give you a Microsoft Band 3 suddenly out of the blue?
No. And I didn't, those sports headsets that I was talking about, that didn't happen. But I got a really simple gadget, which is very useful, but very low tech. I think I mentioned a few times
that I do.
Most Saturdays, I'm out doing a park run somewhere in the world. So 5K run, and part of that is you have a barcode, which is an individual barcode that you get that no matter where you are in the world, if you run a park run, you scan in. And I normally leave mine in the back of my, I've got it printed out and laminated, and I leave that in the back of my, in the case of my phone.
Oh, I know what you did. You got it tattooed on your neck.
So that would be a solution, but I think that'd be a short-term solution because over time, that would then stretch. I'd have to get it corrected all the time. But no, for Christmas, I got a band that goes around your wrist that has the barcode on it. So.
I
told you it was low tech, but it's a gadget.
It's valuable to you, mate.
I was thinking more along the lines of most science fiction movies I see, they get a tattoo on their wrist or the back of their neck, and that thing lasts forever. They can read that, within a mile.
That's true, but no.
No. Okay.
What about you? Did you get any of the gadgets you were pining for?
Well, I got my desk, which I'm very very glad that I have.
So did you get a full is it a full desk or is it a desk that I've got my standing desk is one of the ones that sits over the top of my existing desk.
Okay, no, this is actually a separate desk from my sit down desk. At some point, my full desktop will probably go away. My desktop is over 5 years old. And so something is going to happen to it, and I'm going to tear it down. When that happens, my sit-down desk will go away, and I will have just the standing / sit-down desk in its place. But the, 5 years ago, I didn't realize what it meant when I accepted a job that doesn't have an office. And so I have steadily gained weight despite any attempts at dieting. And so I'm really actually beginning to believe that there is something to the fact that I just do not stand and walk around and pace and do the things that I would normally do with that sit-down desk. It's just too appealing. And so now with this ability to be able to stand in front of the desk, it's a wonderful desk. I'm going to go ahead and promote the company. The company's name is U-Lift, which doesn't mean that you personally have to lift the desk, but it is a great company. The electronics and the servos and stuff like that are guaranteed for 5 years, and it's got an all bamboo surface. So it's really, really, really nice, and I am a huge believer. It right before Christmas, it was on sale, It was. It's normally $1,300 US, and that's practically the cost of a house in Australia. And
whereabouts in Australia are you shopping? Are you going to be able to afford a house for less than $500,000? I mean, really?
Well, yeah, but $500,000 Australian, right?
Oh, right, gotcha.
So okay, really, about $10 US.
Or a peso. anyway, but it's normally about $1,300, and it was on sale before Christmas at about $600, so almost half off. So it was totally worth doing, and I'm very happy with it. Now, in 6 months, when you see me next, Kyle, or after I've been at it a while, you will have to let me know whether or not you could just look at me and go, nope, that's not working. You need to find something else.
You do have a Fitbit, don't you, Brian?
I do not. I do not have a Fitbit anymore. As a matter of fact, I am completely wearable free.
I was just thinking, the simple fact of having even the cheapest Fitbit on your arm and that goal of 10,000 steps a day, it does make a difference to the way you think about it. Yesterday it was relatively warm here. We had nothing on. Nothing doing, so we sat down and watched one of our shows and caught up on a few episodes, and then went up to the local RSL club for dinner. When I got back, I looked at my watch and said, oh, look, I've done a whole 3,000 steps today. That's horrible. So just having that Fitbit on makes you aware of how little or how much you have done. This morning I had to get something from the shop, and I thought, well, I can jump in the car and drive down there. No, I'm just going to walk down and walk back, and it happens to be, you know, about a kilometre down. So about 5/8 of a mile down, and the same back, of course. And just that, and looking at my Fitbit, and I can see that I've done 6,000 steps, and it's like, oh, good. So I know that I'm moving, and it's something that can spur you on. And certainly at the conferences where we're proctoring and that type of thing, where you're walking around, hopefully, you're walking around all day, it doesn't take long to get the 10,000 steps up.
That is absolutely true. And that's one of the things that I've discovered, is that over the years, it's actually harder to do the conferences because I spend so much time sitting. I'm just, my leg muscles just aren't as strong. And so I actually get more aches and pains and in the joints and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that the standing instead of sitting,
I think it'll help. And at next tech conference, why don't you come out on the floor for a bit?
No. Let's not get crazy. No.
Oh, yeah. He backed out of that one quickly, didn't he, Kyle?
Yes, he did.
Sure did.
But I do also want to give a shout-out to the Microsoft Corporation, because they have made some darn fine devices. I am right now working from a Surface Precision mouse.
Oh.
And up till now, I have been a diehard Logitech Precision MX, which is it's a full size mouse. It's a big mouse, actually. And you know, my hands are not huge, but they're big enough where I like to have a mouse that I don't like to click on small little mice. I feel like my hands is kind of hunched up when I do that. So I really like a mouse that fits in the palm of my hand and then goes all the way to my fingertips. And the new Precision mouse does a really good job. The only complaint I have is that it has 3 buttons by the thumb. Because it has a nice thumb rest for you to put your thumb on.
Yeah.
But it's got 3 buttons there instead of just 2. And I'm used to sort of not moving my thumb that much. And so I have discovered that I press the middle button, and the middle button reduces my screen down and shows me what I've been working on. And so it's sort of like you're holding down the Windows and Tab key at the same time. And so that one part of it I still have to get used to, but in general it is a really, really good mouse, so I'm very, very pleased with that.
Well, here's the most important thing in my mind: is it a Bluetooth mouse?
Yes, actually, it is. It does not have a changeable battery. It's got a rechargeable battery in it.
And so it doesn't have a dongle.
It does not have a dongle, but it does plug in via USB to do the charging. And then it also is Bluetooth 4.1.
Good, because that's one of the main reasons I love the Surface mouse with my Surface, is that I don't have to plug a damn dongle in, because that annoys the hell out of me, especially when you're using a Surface and you've got minimal minimal ports to plug things into. How much are they worth?
They are worth almost exactly 100 US. 99.99. So they're pretty pricey. Especially you compare the comparable Logitech. It is back down in the $50 to $70 range.
Which is about the same for the Surface mouse, the Arc mouse, the flat one that I like to carry with my Surface.
And this one does take up a little bit more space than the Arc mouse. I'm a big fan of the Arc mouse, but it has no buttons by the thumb. And so I really, as far as back and forward goes in my browser, that's really, really important to me.
I got a great idea. Put LODS on a couple of them and give them out as gifts at the summit or something like that.
You think that would be a good idea, huh?
Oh, I'd love it if I got one. Because walking around with a Learn On Demand Systems mouse is just going to increase the visibility of the company in my classrooms by 100%.
You know, it occurs to me, and James may have to edit this. Kyle, we got so discombobulated with our first show of the year, you never did our housekeeping at the beginning of the show.
I know, we just jumped straight into it. That's all right. I was going to do the housekeeping at the end. That's okay.
Excellent.
I have to do the housekeeping at the end because, unfortunately, school shoes and the purchase thereof await me at our local little comfortable shopping centre called Chermside.
Wait, is Wayne Benjamin Button, is he going, the older he gets, the younger he is, he's going back to school and needs shoes?
You know, I don't know if you remember 21 Jump Street, the original TV series.
Yes, I do.
Had you know, say Johnny Depp, who was like 35 at the time, who was being posing as a student at a high school.
All right, I'm gonna love you and leave you. Sorry, gentlemen.
This is what Wayne's doing. So he needs school shoes.
To all my fans and followers out there, if you want to catch me on Twitter, it's at Wayne McGlynn, and that's Wayne, MCGLI for India, double N for November. And with that, farewell, gentlemen, and Kyle.
And we won't mention that he's actually going shopping for school shoes because he only has small feet. so that's the reason why he goes shopping for school shoes.
The length is in use elsewhere.
Oh, now, okay. Goodbye, Wayne.
I've got a long nose. Bye, gentlemen.
I was going to say it was his hair, but, you know, he doesn't seem to have a very large proboscis that I can see. So, the other things that are going on just to jump now that we've lost Wayne,
yes,
to something else.
Sure.
Have you been following anything that's coming out of CES?
You know, it's funny you ask that question.
It's probably not really, but...
I think it's hilarious that you asked that question. And again, I'm not trying to spend people's money after the holidays on technology, but if they were to choose some technology, especially as a trainer, there's one particular device that really caught my eye at the brand new 2018 Consumer Electronics Show that is going on at pretty much as we speak right now. And the company LG has announced a little tiny itty-bitty projector that's the size of a pint glass or smaller Might even be the size of a 12-ounce beer, for all I know. You notice the measurements that I'm using here.
Well, it's so that I, as an Australian, can relate to it. So
right, exactly. Actually, it's slightly bigger than that. They're calling it tiny, but it is a relatively small device that looks like you can rest it on the floor or on a tabletop or whatever. And it is a rectangular device, and it projects 4K, 150-inch picture at something crazy like 4,000 or 6,000 lumens. I don't remember the exact thing, but they have some pictures, and we can maybe check it out. It is a tiny 4K projector, but it is going to be a lot less than the cost of a comparable large 4K projector, or especially a 4K TV that is 150 inches, which I don't know if you price those out lately, Kyle, but they are not inexpensive. But the amazing thing about this is that it is Wi-Fi, and it's you don't have to cable anything in, and it's, you know, a Chromecast and Wirecast and all these other kind of things. And they're predicting that it will be less than the $2,000 price for some of the larger ones. So they don't have an actual price yet, but it looks like it might be something good to watch. Nice, bright, 150-inch 4K resolution.
Wow, that should be good.
Yeah. They say that it actually tops out. I said it was at 4,000 lumens, at 2,500 lumens, but that's a pretty decent size.
Okay. That sounds good.
But in other news, non-CES related news, and CES, of course, is going to have a lot of other things that are going to come out of it. Things from the world of sound and things from the world of self-driving cars, which still don't believe in. But one thing that I found was very interesting was that a company that's near and dear to my heart, which is Kohler. I don't know, Kyle, are you familiar with Kohler?
I drink some cola.
No, not cola. Kohler. That would be starting with a K and then followed by an O, an H, an L, and an E, and an R. And again, we don't get sponsorship dollars from any of these companies that I brag about. So if they are listening, by all means, feel free to send me free products and things like that. Kohler is a company that makes, well, for a long time, it was known for making toilets and bathtubs and then eventually faucets and
yep.
things like that. Okay. So you may have heard of Kohler fixtures in some hotels and things like that.
I know the company you're speaking of now.
Okay. Well, Kohler has said that they are going to put Alexa into their toilets, which I couldn't resist saying because that makes a great headline. But I thought that it was very funny. They're talking about putting assistance in shower heads and having the shower head be a microphone and speaker and be able to have it play, you know, your news update or whatever your playlist is or whatever. I think there's some very, very cool stuff they can do. The only thing that I am concerned about is I don't want to tell a personal assistant to flush the toilet. I think that seems a little bit weird.
This is true. Or alternatively, because they're always listening, just having them judge you just a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
Like, all of these things could be downsides to the plan. There are places where I don't believe that IoT belongs.
That is correct, yes.
Anywhere near a colon
wow.
is one of those locations.
Yeah, that I think you're getting very specific there. But yes, I agree with that. So that was another thing. But now let's switch over to the more software-based side, even though we did talk about Microsoft hardware a little bit earlier. There have been many announcements of up-and-coming classes that courses, specifically courseware, I guess, would be more precise, that Microsoft is going to be releasing in 2018. Have you heard anything about this?
So, not really. I haven't been following them probably as closely as you have, so please proceed.
I don't necessarily have anything major to report, but I can say that Microsoft is going to be doing a lot with big data. And Microsoft right now had took a stab at recently doing things with sort of, I don't want to call it something it's not, but along the lines of a actual degree, they were working with the ability to be able to have a actual backed educational experience that was on the level with many colleges and universities. However, they are now taking some of the information they learned in that, and they're putting it into data management and analytics, and they're actually putting it into the current MCSE program. So it isn't just about SQL. It's about using business intelligence, machine learning, and data engineering and stuff like that in both the cloud and on-premises. There are all sorts of new things coming, courses, classes, exams, not ones that are, you know, completely new, but to give you an idea of what we're talking about here, designing and implementing big data analytics. What was the other one that I saw? Designing business intelligence solutions. Data warehousing. Well, data warehousing has been around a little bit longer than some of these others. But analyzing big data with Microsoft R. These are all courses and exams that are going to be coming out in 2018. So Microsoft's really, and Kyle, I'm sure you're well aware of this, they are big time invested in big data.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the next big push. I think that'll also go for their once they do the push into the quantum computing, I think that will then further push the big data. You've got me saying it now.
Data. Well, data is the correct way of saying it.
Not for the rest of the world.
In Star Trek, when you watch the. Not the original Star Trek, but the second one, Next Generation. When you watch Star Trek Next Generation, what was the android's name?
The android's name is Data.
And?
That was someone's name.
I'm not going to arm wrestle over this, but I think you're wrong.
Well, this. Anyway, let's move on.
I do want to say, for anybody who is listening to these things in order, first of all, good on ya for going through and taking the time to listen to these in order. But also, Kyle told me at one point how good of a movie the new Star Wars movie was, because he had actually seen it the day we were recording. And I told him he couldn't have seen it already because I didn't think it had been released. And so we had a bit of an argument about time zones and date lines and things like that.
And how you were wrong.
And how I was wrong. I will have to say that you were, my friend, quite right. I was blown away. I actually said to my son that this may be the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
So one of the things that I loved about it, and again without giving anything away because people may not have watched it as yet, but one of the things that I just thought was amazing was the visuals, that the battle on the salt planet.
Yes,
that was just
as much as you have to say.
Yeah, that was just amazing.
So. Yeah. There were moments where I actually cursed out loud because I couldn't believe they had actually done that scene. It was literally amazing. And for those who haven't gone out to see it, what's wrong with you? Go out and see it because it is worth it. Now, I have heard from other people, it was okay. And I was like, well, once again, you're obviously very wrong. And maybe you should possibly go see a doctor to see if you need to be on some sort of medication. But it to each their own, except for Kyle. It was pretty amazing. But what was so funny about this, the reason I was bringing this up is I do have a tendency to be the person who is wrong on our arguments. And I was watching, and this was sort of what led me down this path. I was watching another show, not presented by the BBC, but by Amazon, about three guys who drive, three older middle-aged men who drive very, very expensive cars. And one of them doesn't do it so well. And I was thinking when you and I and Wayne were on, I am Richard Hammond. Only instead of crashing cars, I just take conversations down
rabbit holes.
Yes, and end up being wrong a lot. So, but I think, Kyle, then that just means that you are Jeremy Clarkson. So you need to gain some weight and get a little bit taller.
Just I think I have some of that sarcasm out. I don't quite have his same level of casual racism, you know, like the and I should also point out I hope not to.
an admirable goal.
Yeah. Worst people to be compared to, I guess.
True. He's very successful. So you got that going for you. But now that does lead me to a conclusion that if you take a look at our last year in recording, if I'm Richard Hammond and you are Jeremy Clarkson, what does that make James Finley?
Well, he's already got the first name. So he's either James May or he's James Finley. I don't know. Should we start just referring to him as Captain Slow?
We could. But we'll wait until he's on to be able to actually indoctrinate him into that. He may have no idea what we're talking about.
Of course he will. He does the sound editing.
No. I was referring to, he may not know who James May is.
Oh, he'll know who James May is. He hasn't been living under a rock. He lives in New Zealand, not under a rock.
Okay, so describe the differences.
There's more moss in New Zealand.
And ask James, it may or Finley, about their Air Force.
That's true. They may actually have a plane now.
A plane.
I'm not positive, but I have this sneaking suspicion that they may have one now.
Okay. So now it has nothing to do with technology, has nothing to do with the upcoming courses or anything like that. But I heard Wayne mention before we got started that he was sweating because it was so warm outside. Is that true by you?
Oh yes, absolutely. It's been very, very warm. For our summers, it's like we're normally pretty hot, pretty hot in summer, like sort of that. But Sydney last week, I think, had recorded the hottest. The Sydney itself had the hottest recorded temperature on Earth last week.
Really?
Yes. So even like hotter than Death Valley.
Really?
Yes.
Is that heat index or just straight up hot?
No, I think it was just straight up hot. Let me just see if I can find the.
I do have to say, it sounds suspiciously like Australian bragging.
Well, true, but there was no mention of beer or sheep.
True. Or a venomous animal.
That's true. Sydney? No, that was last year. So overnight temperature, like Sydney break their hottest night ever recorded in December, late last year. But 4 days ago, breaks temperature. No, that. Here we go. So this is Sydney. So this is actually US. It's on a US website, US news site, CBS News. I don't know. I don't know if they're fake news or not. But
there, cowboy.
Dangerous heat is roasting parts of Australia with temperatures that haven't been seen in decades. Temperature in Sydney hit an almost 80-year high of 47.3 degrees Celsius or 117 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Which, just seeing if I can find that. They were actually playing. There was a cricket match on same day. So you know.
Well, nobody was in danger of any heat exhaustion then, because nothing happens in cricket.
So it actually doesn't do the comparison there, but it was that broke the all-time high record in Sydney. So
well, now I'd like to feel sorry for you, I really would, but in my home living space, the temperature outside has been below freezing for 3 weeks in a row, and just the past. Let's see. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow has finally gotten above freezing. And on Friday, the temperature is supposed to get down to 11 degrees. And that's not Celsius.
That's impressive.
That's the high temperature.
Yeah.
But the one thing that was interesting was we did not, except for New Year's Eve, we did not have temperatures that, with wind chill, were really in below minus 20. But on New Year's Eve, it was very, very cold. So a lot of people did not go out to celebrate.
Oh, really?
Right. So the drunk driving and all that other kind of stuff was way down for this year. So we've got that going for us.
Well, there you go. See, there's positives.
Yeah, there's always good positives.
Always positives.
So I'm thinking that in the future, we may start doing something, because I heard this idea, and we may have to get others involved, but I think that we should, at the end of the session, propose a thing that we want to find out, and then find out the answer and deliver it in the next session. And what I'm getting on about is one of my coworkers and I were talking, and we were talking about, why do you do what you do, or why do you do it that way? And a perfect example was, and he gave an illustration from his past, was that he was at his in-laws, and they were having ham, and the person who was cooking the ham cut the very end off of the ham and then put the ham into the oven, leaving out the very end of the ham. And somebody asked the question why they did that, and the person said, well, you know, my mother did that and her mother did that. And they got back to grandma and they asked grandma why she had done that, and she said, when she was a girl, her mother's stove would not hold a full-size ham, so they cut the end off so it would fit in the oven, and it became this tradition of you always did it that way. And I was thinking, if we could actually go out and find the origin of why we do certain things that we do, training-wise, that it could be an interesting segment to our show. So what I was thinking is, in order to lure people, you know, to carry our listener from one episode to another episode, that we could come up with a why do we do XYZ, and then on the next episode, we will explain why we do XYZ after doing a lot of research and talking to very famous people and things like that, give that response, and then set up the next one. What do you think, Kyle?
Sounds fascinating.
you sound very, very intrigued. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, an example that we will try to find out for next week. So when you switch between applications, how do you do it right now?
As in between active applications?
Yeah, so whether you've got multiple screens or not, if you want to switch from your email to a web browser that are both open, how do you do it?
Depends.
Why does it depend?
Well, it depends. Depends on whether I've got my hand on the mouse at all or if I've got the hand on my keyboard.
Okay, let's say you've got one on the keyboard and one on the mouse.
Well, it still would depend on what my workflow at the time was. So I would either do Alt Tab, okay. I'd actually, like, if I had a hand on the keyboard, I would probably Alt Tab more than anything.
Okay, so now so would I. Even though I am on a perfect example is right now I'm on three different monitors on this particular device, and I could just drag my mouse over and click. I will still Alt-Tab to whatever it is that I want to go to. So what I want to find out is who came up with Alt-Tab and why do we have Alt-Tab when, in this day and age, we really don't need Alt-Tab, provided, again, you have multiple monitors or a large monitor where you have multiple screens or whatever. Do you still do that even if you have one screen and you have multiple things open on that screen? Do you still Alt-Tab?
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, I literally was just doing that while I was talking to you about it. And I was thinking to myself, why do we have Alt Tab and why are we still using Alt Tab as a mechanism? Now, I realized that at one point your application filled the entire screen and the only way to switch between was to use Alt Tab. But, you know, I think we could go out and I'll take the lead on this one. Find out who invented Alt-Tab or when it was invented and how it came into being and so on. And then we'll put that answer on for why we do that in the next episode. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, and it'll be your job to come up with the next one. Why do we do that?
Okay. Sounds
still,
good.
You still sound very confused, but that's all right. We'll work it out.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's fine.
So these people have been patiently listening to us, desiring deeply to know how they could reach out to us. So why don't you do some housekeeping, for gosh sakes?
Sure. So a couple of things. One is if you want to be able to subscribe to the podcast, then I would recommend that you go to trainertechtalk.net because that is the home of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays. There are episodes just overflowing there, and I've actually literally just gone to that site to see which ones are up currently. And James has been working overtime to be able to get things up. He has misspelt your name. I won't tell him where, but he has misspelt your name.
Rain?
And no,
oh.
your rain.
Oh, rain. Okay.
Rain. Yeah, that's a bit odd. But anyway, he'll find it, I'm sure.
So
you can subscribe there. You can reach out to us on Twitter at TuesdayTTT. Also, subscribe to that would probably be a good plan because that's where you get some of the latest news and the information's from users, from the Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. Often we will, sometimes we will share links and that sort of thing through there. So we'll be able to get you some further information about you know, different gadgets, and that's a thing that we discuss. Otherwise, you can also follow me directly on Twitter at WindowsPCGuy, or Brian can be reached at Brian Bork, LODS. Did I get it right?
Yes.
You can also follow Wayne as well, although I can't remember what his... Well, exactly. Well, plus he left early, so
he did.
So no, but he is at Wayne MC Glynn, GLINN. You can follow him, and he has tweeted. He hasn't tweeted in months, but I'm sure he will now.
He's retired. He has no reason to tweet.
That is true.
I just want to give a shout out. In the late December timeframe, James Finley has done an extraordinary job of making sure that not only were we completely up to date to start this new year, but to make sure that stuff got out really, really timely. So I want to give him a major shout out because he did a lot of work in a very little time. So thank you very much, yeah, James.
Absolutely. Very, very much appreciated. The other thing that I should mention, and this is just because Wayne brought this up before we started doing the recording, and this will mean nothing to you, Brian, I have to say, but to our Australian listeners and any of our expat Australian listeners, and I'm not sure if it made it to New Zealand, but there is really big news that's come out of Australia today, which is that there's a candy bar called Violet Crumble, which went out of production for a while, and it's back in production.
Oh, my gosh.
I honestly cannot explain just how big news that is. That is massive news. I know you think I'm being sarcastic, but it's not. You're not. So the crunchy just isn't the same. So just, and again, people will know what I mean. Those that know, they'll know. So
will you bring me into the know by bringing that?
If I can find some before, because they've literally just announced that they're bringing it back. So if I can find some before I come up, yeah, I will. I will bring some because it's awesome.
Because,
so.
You know, I am the highlight of the snack food industry is the Tim Tam, also a very good Australian invention.
You know what would be fantastic, just thinking about that? A violet crumble Tim Tam. I don't know how it would work, but a violet crumble Tim Tam. I'm just putting it out there. Two completely separate companies. I'm not even going to be like trademark it or ask for rights or anything like that. If the two companies could get together and make that, I would be, you know, I'd be okay. I'd be okay with that. I'd be great. So we have rambled enough. The other thing we should mention, of course, is our sponsor, Learn On Demand Systems. One of the things that I think we should mention about Learn On Demand Systems that there's actually I've had a few inquiries about over the last couple of days, because I think there was a Facebook posting that I answered that has prompted a whole bunch of people asking for something that I thought everyone knew about, but they didn't, which is that if you're an MCT, and you want to be able to get access to the hands-on labs for Learn On Demand Systems, the Microsoft lab environment, so the hosted lab environment that we have, and get access to all of the labs that we have. You don't even have to be using them in a classroom. Then you can request that. Just simply reach out to either Brian or myself, and we'll need your transcript ID and your transcript sharing code, and then we can set you up. Free access, no requirements for you apart from that. Yeah, just go ahead and use it to be able to do your testing and, as I said, also use it in the classroom environment. Obviously, if you do like it, then let your management know. But if you're under no compulsion to do that. If you don't like it, or if there's something that you think you can improve, then again, let Brian or myself know, and we'll make sure that we do that.
And then Kyle will fix it. Kyle, I do have to say that we are not doing our job very well if there are MCTs out there who do not know that they get that for free. But we will have to do our job even better, because that's an important thing that, that MCTs do need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, sort of. So I know that, that I've been promoting it with when I've been going to the MCT summits and that sort of thing. Plus, as part of some of the newer MCTs, so that have gone through the MCT train the trainers with some of like the MCT organizations, letting them know that's a benefit for them. It's a free benefit that gives them the ability to be able to prep. So
it does indeed. So Learn On Demand Systems can be found where?
At learnondemandsystems.com.
What a clever name.
I know, it's pretty unique. Like of all of the websites to use for those ones, for a company with that name, it's probably the most ideal and perfect one. The question that I have is, which came first?
Nice.
The website or the name? And but I think it's great.
We should answer that question next time.
That's true. That's true. Actually, that'll be my question of research. It'll be a pretty quick answer. Regardless of what the answer is, the answer will be pretty quick.
Exactly correct. But Learn On Demand Systems is a very phenomenal project, and we're not just saying that because we work there or the fact that they're our sponsors. But they do really believe in this show and believe in us, so that we want to make sure that they keep doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I think that's pretty much it. Have you got anything to finalize out with?
No, I want to welcome you to the new year, Kyle. I didn't do that at the beginning of the show. It seems like we're doing everything sort of backwards here. So you should feel right at home, being down there where clocks go the wrong way and so do the toilets and so on. Perhaps you could get a personal assistant to flush those for you.
But I do have three different personal assistants sitting on my desk at the moment, so I could trigger
all
of them
right now.
I could trigger all of them at the same time.
I did see it before we go. I did see one announcement about technology that Microsoft and Samsung are going to put Cortana into a speaker device, and also that Alexa is going to be coming to PCs.
I did see that about the Echo product that was going to be coming to PCs. I saw a headline about it. I didn't read too much about it apart from the headline. So, but you can see it's the next evolution. Like and it's also the partnership between Microsoft and Amazon as well along those lines. So, Cortana is still scheduled, as far as I know, to be coming to Echo. So it's going to be a skill within the Echo product. So yeah, so you'd see that there would be a give and take with that.
Absolutely. So those were just two things that I remembered as we were winding down. So.
Sure. Okay. If there's nothing else, then we will close it out. So thank you once again for our listener for joining us and staying with us for this last, certainly for the last couple of years, and stick with us for this year. That's this year to come. I'm sure it's going to be exciting and enthralling, particularly with the new segment that Brian has just introduced. I can see our listenership will probably double now.
At least 2 to 4 people.
Unless one of them leaves.
That's right. That's a stupid idea. I'm done with them.
That's right. So if you did enjoy listening to the podcast, this has been another enthralling episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. Otherwise, if you didn't enjoy it, then thanks for joining us once again for Patch and Switch.
Let me live 'neath your spell. Do, do, that. that voodoo that you do so well, 'cause you...